we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Time no see.
I was in bed all week.
When I left here, I was sick all week. Still. How'd you escape it?
Have you ever had
it? No, I don't know how she has.
Not bad. I had laryngitis.
Mr. Baker, I know you have some changes on Dave on the agenda.
Yes, I have a couple items. Under old business, Peel Lacrosse Homes, we'd like to hold that for a couple of weeks till the next meeting. And then under Michael Rizzo, item number 3, Angola Sanitary Sewer District, bid award, we'd like to defer on that till the next meeting also. That's it.
Anybody else got anything?
This one, discussion, possible introduction of the source water protection ordinance. I don't know if it's a big deal or not, but if it is going to the committee, then we don't need to. Should we strike the word introduction?
I think what I understood was the idea was that council could go ahead and introduce it if it wished, and then the committee, if they choose to do to have a meeting and comment on it, could make their position on the ordinance known at the time of the public hearing. But if you prefer not to introduce it, that could.
I would just like to have discussion and not introduce it tonight and wait for the committee to meet.
That's fine.
Myself.
Okay. We'll vote on it and see where it shakes. Gentlemen, motion on the amended agenda.
Make a motion. We amend the agenda. Old business. And under Mike Izzo, Angola Center Sewer District, and deletion of the possible introduction on the discussion of the source water protection ordinance.
Second.
We move to second it that we approved agenda as amended. Any questions? Being none, Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
Council.
You have a copy of the minutes of January 8th.
Council.
In printed form. Any corrections or additions? Being none, I'll take a motion, gentlemen.
I make a motion we approve the agenda, the minutes of January the 8th as presented.
Second.
So moved to second that we approve the minutes at printed form of January the 8th. Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Dukes.
Yes.
Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed. Correspondence. Jim.
The first item is a letter from the Deltek Educational Foundation thanking council for monetary support provided in the year 2007 to the Educational Foundation. Letter from the Lewis Senior Center thanking council for a grant that they will use toward much needed building repairs. A letter from the Boys and Girls Club to Councilman Dukes thanking for a contribution to the Milford Boys and Girls Club annual fund campaign for 2007-2008. A letter from Delaware Hospice to the Sussex County Engineering Department, friends and co-workers of Michael Moore. Thank you very much for your thoughtful, generous gift of $95 for the remembrance tree, $125 for the tree sponsor, and $100 for re-sponsor in support of the 2007 Delaware Hospice Festival of Trees. The gift will help us continue to provide choice, care, and comfort to patients with life-limiting illnesses and their families. Again, thank you for your thoughtful generosity. And that's all.
Any other correspondence in council? Being none, Dave?
Okay, the first item of business tonight is a proclamation for National Parent Leadership Month in Sussex County. And I do have a proclamation here. I'll read it. Proclaiming the month of February as National Parent Leadership Month in Sussex County. Whereas meaningful parent leadership occurs when parents gain the knowledge and skills necessary to function in meaningful leadership roles and present a parent voice to help shape the direction of their families, programs, communities. And whereas parent leadership is successfully achieved when parents receive support and training and share responsibility, expertise, and leadership. Whereas parent leadership is an essential and effective means of strengthening families and protecting children. Whereas Parents Anonymous has created National Parent Leadership Month to recognize the extraordinary courage and tenacity of parents who have reached out to make improvements to their families and communities. And whereas Parents Anonymous has developed the National Parent Leadership Team, an innovative model that actively supports parents in meaningful parent leadership roles. Whereas Parents Anonymous has accredited Delaware Ecumenical Council on Children and Families as its affiliate organization in the first state and operates parent support groups. Whereas Delaware Ecumenical Council on Children and Families recognizes the vital importance of partnering with parents. Whereas National Parent Leadership Month recognizes, honors, and celebrates parents for the vital leadership responsibilities they exercise in their homes and communities, as well as in local, state, national, and international arenas. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby proclaims the month of February as National Parent Leadership Month in Sussex County.
Motion, gentlemen, please.
So moved. Second.
We move to second that we approve the proclamation as read. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Okay, the next item, thank you. The next item is discussion of the source water ordinance. And I know last week, and I'm handing out a copy of a draft that Mr. Griffin put together for us. At last week's meeting, we discussed certain amendments that have been proposed for the draft ordinance. And I'd just like to, again, explain what is included as far as changes from what the Source Water Committee recommended a few months ago. First, at the request of DENREC, there's two items at the request of DENREC, which have been, we've been told, are land use plan certification issues. Again, as we discussed last week, we copied the impervious surface requirements for excellent recharge areas to be the same requirements for wellhead protection areas. And then second, DENREC and a state geologist must approve wellhead and excellent recharge area boundary changes as well as the county. Those are the two changes that DENREC requested. The others that we felt you may want to consider, this first, the composition of the Source Water Protection Technical Advisory Committee. Instead of using the TAC committee, when there's 17 members on TAC and about almost half of the members are DENREC representatives, we suggested 10 members appointed by the council, including 5 licensed professional engineers, geologists, or hydrologists. Also, we suggested that the county council would make the decision on variances from the ordinance instead of the Board of Adjustment, and that we would charge a variance request fee the same as we charge for the Board of Adjustment, which is currently $400 if and when there would be a request for a variance. The ordinance would not apply to previously approved projects which are under construction or projects that have received preliminary site plan approval. So those were the changes and that from the what the committee actually presented. And we also put together a summary of the ordinance, and Mr. Griffin has made those changes in the ordinance itself, which we just handed out, a draft ordinance. And then this is an outline of to try to help explain what is in the ordinance itself. So we just tried to outline it to maybe help better understand it. On February 20th, Mr. Godwin will be holding a source water committee meeting to consider these changes and any other that they would like. So after that, our next meeting would be February 26th. Our next council meeting would be February 26th, and we could place it on the agenda for discussion and possible introduction at that time if you like.
I sat down and read this thing over the weekend a couple, three times. Almost to the point I thought I understood it. And then after I read it again, I decided that I didn't. And I understand that what state's asking for is that our recharge areas have the same wording as the impervious coverage requirements. Right. The same wording in here.
Right. They're both the same for the impervious surface.
Not saying if I support either one of these, but it sounds reasonable to me what they're asking for in the impervious coverage. Why wouldn't we use the same wording in the recharge areas? I mean, what is the downside? I guess I'd have to ask someone on the committee who's opposed to this ordinance, you know, what the downside is of having the word, the language, the same in both places.
Well, the language was put in by the committee for the recharge areas. They now want to fold that same language into the wellhead
protection. The state does.
Yes.
Right. My question is, I guess, to someone on the committee, do you know?
I might be able to answer for you.
Why is that a bad thing?
Okay. The excellent recharge areas are established by Mother Nature. They're just there. They are areas that have been tested in the soil where the water percolates through very easily into the aquifers. Those areas are delineated on a map by the state that are called excellent recharge areas. Wellheads are established by you and me and businesses. And this ordinance only pertains to public drinking wells, not the well at your house or at mine.
Not residential wells.
Correct. So the difference is that the impervious surface regulations that the committee chose to put in on the excellent recharge areas, those are fixed areas. In other words, those really aren't going to change unless Mother Nature changes them. But wells get sunk down on occasion. Developers many times drill wells for their developments. So the wellhead protection area is a horse of a different color, if you will. Okay? So they're installed, they're replaced, sometimes they're abandoned. And when they are, when you install a public drinking well, this wellhead recharge area is not just a delineation by feet. It's something that's determined by a scientific study where they try to determine how far out away from the well the water in the well can be affected by uses on the ground. So if something poisonous is spilled on the soil up here, if it gets into the well, then that's considered part of the recharge area, the wellhead protection area. I'm sorry. Okay? So this area is delineated by an engineering study. And the engineering study is called the 5-year time of travel. And what that means is if you were to drop, you know, a gallon of poison on the soil here, and there's a well that away, it would take 5 years through this scientific study for the poison to get into the drinking water for you to drink. And that 5-year time of travel may change. It might only be 30 feet at one point, but it might be 300 feet at another point based on the soils and how the waters move under the ground. So the engineers figure that stuff out, and they delineate on a map that this is the wellhead protection area for this well. So what DENREC is claiming, or is requiring actually, is that we apply the same rules that we drew up for the excellent recharge areas, use those same impervious surface regulations on the wellhead protection areas. That's what DENREC is requiring in order for them to endorse this ordinance.
Requesting.
Well, the reason I use the word requirement is they're claiming that
they should say requesting, not requiring.
Right. Well, the reason is because they've claimed that that could be a certification issue in our comprehensive plan.
Well, then, what's their state law say?
I have not been able to find a state law that sets up any minimums for any of this.
Then they should bring down and tell us what their state law says.
Well, we asked that question a number of times through the committee's work over the last 2 years.
They don't have anything.
State law just required us by December 31 to adopt rules and regulations that would protect groundwater that served as public drinking water sources without saying much more.
Correct.
Because they don't have anything.
Right.
Well, what they came with was that draft ordinance.
Yeah, they're expecting us to devise laws that fit our county as the other counties adopt laws that fit their county. So that's
typical.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but that's somewhat not so, because they came down here what they wanted to start with, because they can't get it through the legislature. And then we'll put our name on it, so when somebody goes to Dover Grapes, they can say, hey, Sussex County passed it, period. Because after we created a committee, when the gentleman came from Dunrack, Kevin Donnelly, he said what he wanted. We had a committee. They didn't see it exactly the same way. And then he came back again the other day and says, you know, until you give me what I want, we won't certify your plan, and we're cutting all money off Sussex County. End discussion. That's where we left it last week. So it's not something we can create. It's something they're mandating that we pass.
How much money do they
don't have? Agree with it, but that's the way it is.
I was just trying to give you the answers as to what the committee did.
They give us a lot of money.
No, I think it's be nice. Depends what they classify, what they're going to take. Do something. All right.
Right or wrong. Right or wrong. Right or wrong. I'd like to see you guys do something. Right or wrong.
Well, what would be helpful, I think, is Mr. Baker's put together this section-by-section guide. Just try to go over that in the next 2 weeks, and maybe we can, and by the 20th, the committee will meet, and by the 26th, we can have the results of the committee.
I got just a couple questions, and it talks about houses that are built now and that are in a wellhead protection and say they're at 35% right now of total lot coverage, and they want to build a garage. And I talked to you before the meeting, so I know where you're going. But now they have to go hire a geologist and all that kind of stuff to build anything on that lot, because they're not exempt. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. The difference, you've got the difference pretty clear. The difference between the two sections in this ordinance is that the wellhead protection area moves with wells as they are installed.
Right.
The excellent recharge areas are fixed.
Right.
And they're probably not going to change much over the next 100 years.
Right.
The difference is that this impervious surface, we know where that will be in this ordinance as far as the excellent recharge areas. But the point that you made is a good one, because the impervious surface requirements will change all over the county as new wells are installed.
Right.
That's true.
If I could say one thing regarding your question, Mr. Jones.
Yes.
It was whether they would have to hire a geologist. That only comes into play where they're trying to change the boundaries that are shown on those maps that are sent down by DNREC. In the situation of a homeowner who may already be at 35% and a garage would push them over 35%, there's a provision where they could apply to get a variance.
And to the bank.
From who? From us? To us?
From you. As it's now proposed.
Yeah. But that's not very cool either. I mean, that's kind of sucky if you want to know the truth. I mean, I think the guy that's lived there 50 years, and then because he happened to be, you know, Rehoboth punked for lack of 24, this guy is basically, because we're passing this rule, is getting screwed. That's the bottom line, you know.
It would be, if it's existing today,
right,
prior to when
he can do 10% without,
he could add 10%, right,
without, but if he still variance. But then again, does that, if it throws it over the threshold, does that, what part makes it work?
We did try to look at a small lot to see,
right. I know we talked a little bit about it. Yeah.
And a 7,500 square foot lot, which I think is a minimum, Mr. Lank told us,
for
a cluster, right, that would mean a footprint of 2,625 feet to hit 35%.
Right.
But there are existing lots that are smaller than that, you know, where there could be an impact.
Right.
But a developer on a new development has an opportunity to design things around it.
I'm not talking about new development. I'm talking existing.
You also, with an existing lot in a development, most of these homeowners associations have provisions where they got to go through a homeowners association.
I'm talking about like somebody on 24 strip development has been there forever. And then all of a sudden they want to build, and now all of a sudden they're
probably not going to have a problem, because even with a lot as small as 7,500 square feet, he could have a two-story house. It would be almost 5,300 square feet, and he still wouldn't be over the 35%. So as the lot gets larger, the amount of square footage he could have and the footprint he could have is going to be even bigger.
I understand it. I just don't want. Yeah, I'm very concerned that, you know, again, they're sitting out there. You know, I guess I'd have to go look at some. Like, I'd like to go look. I haven't had a chance to go look.
Well, like with a 10,000 square foot lot, there'd be a 3,500 footprint, and that's a huge house. If it's two story, it could be a McMansion really, and not have to get any variance or anything.
Right. I just say I'm concerned. That's one of the biggest concerns I have. Is you know. New development, guess what? If they're over top of it, they're going to have to require to do the rules. I got no problem with that. But
maybe what we could do is look at our assessment records and see.
Well, I mean, I think some
small
of the information.
Lots, existing lots, and see, try to get a feel. Well,
I just don't. Mike, like I said, my only concern is that Johnny Homemaker sitting there and we pass something. And he wants to come in, and the red flags go up, and now all of a sudden.
It's really going to only be as to what would, under current regulations, be considered undersized lots, you know, non-conforming lots that may have existed before we even had zoning.
You're trying to create a problem here. I'm not sure
there's a problem. I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Is there a problem or is there a problem?
Let's move on, because I think we're spending a lot of time on something that could just never happen.
I think the agenda
happen.
Said discussion, Mr. Cole.
But I think we're dwelling on something that may never happen. We don't even know the impact.
I'm just saying. Just because you don't want to discuss it doesn't mean we don't want to discuss it, okay?
You're the only one talking.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate that. Okay. Any other question?
We'll go back and try to look at the impact and how many existing lots we have with improvements, small lots, and see. Try to get a see what the impact would be.
It doesn't make any sense since we're going to have to re-advertise and have another public round of public hearing. It doesn't make any sense to go ahead and pass what we've got on the table that the committee approved. And then we can come back in several months, which it's going to take anyway, and have a thorough discussion about these amendments that Denrick wants.
That's certainly an option.
Well, I guess that's the reason to go back to the committee to see if they...
At this point, I'm almost agreeing with Mr. Phillips at this point, because this is...
Don't jinx it, Joe.
We're on this one together, I think.
That's going to make you weak.
Anything, move them all.
Scary.
Okay. It's going to go. All the comments are going to go to Hal's. Going to ship everything to the committee, right? You're going to give them a copy of the ordinance, and then they're meeting the 20th, and then we'll put it back on the agenda for the 26th. Is that the game plan? Okay.
What are you putting on the agenda? The original ordinance.
It would be helpful to have if the committee chooses to make a response, Mr. Godwin. I think it'd be very helpful if. Council could have the committee's comments before the 26th.
Read about it.
Get about a week in there.
Okay. So is Mr. Cole.
Yeah. Read the title. I'm serious. I mean, what is the harm in shooting what we've got on the table down?
We can't vote on it because this is an possible introduction, but we can put, I mean, what are you going to put on the agenda in 2 weeks? Are you going to put on this new version or the original ordinance?
The reason for starting on this process was to put on the table a new ordinance which would be introduced and go to another hearing.
If we put, because it has, the only thing that's been advertised and discussed was the original wellhead protection ordinance.
And we completed the public hearing on that and closed the record.
If we put it at wellhead protection, then it could go either way, for lack of better words. Because the other one has not been introduced. Is that correct?
That's true.
If you close the public hearing, put it back on the 26th, and let's vote on it, see if you get three votes.
Public hearing's already been closed.
If you just don't say, I mean, I guess if you do it, you got the either or, because we do have this ordinance, and we'll have a recommendation from the committee.
If what you're
and the majority council feels that they want to vote on the original one, then you, let it be.
If that's what they feel, then you do not want to introduce a second ordinance.
Right.
We're not going to.
Right, we would not do that.
I've done that tonight.
We could put the original ordinance on,
and
then if underneath that, we could put discussion and possible introduction of an right.
Pick a dart and chunk it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Okay.
Good job. You'll take care of that. Jim says,
well,
beats me.
I don't have a vested stake in this. In coming right. up with this revision, I'm just trying to do what you all told me.
I understand. Well, you know, we never have made too good of sense some days anyway, so that's where we are here today, okay?
Once there was a word, and the word was changed.
Anybody have any idea what's going on?
Yep.
Anybody been able to follow this?
Catch up, other than
you two.
We're going to vote in 2 weeks on something.
If you do, help George out, because he needs some help bad up here.
I feel like I'm at that
okay.
show.
Mr. Baker, we got show.
Okay. Next is the administrator's report, and first item is Delaware Department of Transportation, Roxetta Road, emergency road closure. As per the attached notice, DelDOT has closed Roxetta Road between Bixler Road and Phillips Road near Selbyville on February 7th. Road will reopen on February 20th at 6 p.m. after a crossroad pipe is replaced.
Are you ready, Susan?
Another notice from DelDOT, Route 24, Love Creek to Route 1. A public workshop will be held on Tuesday, February 26th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Midway Baptist Church on Route 24. The purpose of the workshop is to receive public input on corridor improvements from Love Creek to Route 1 on Route 24. And then the next is Planning and Zoning Commission schedule. Effective March 2008, the Planning and Zoning Commission will begin meeting four times per month on a temporary basis for the purpose of catching up on their backlog of applications. And I think they already have four meetings scheduled in March. And then finally, President's Day and Midwinter Holiday, county offices will be closed Monday, February 18th to celebrate the President's Day holiday. Offices will open at 8:30 a.m. on the 19th. County Council will not meet on February 19th for a winter holiday break. The next council meeting will be on the 26th at 10 a.m. Thank you.
Glad to see the commission meeting four times a month. Hopefully that will help them catch up, and I realize it's only a part-time, but that would should bring them up to a little closer than what they are. Glad to see that.
Okay. Susie? George, I'll leave you long enough. You can go
ahead and talk. Take a quarterly financial report and pass one down.
I thought we struck that.
There was a request this year to go over quarterly our financial report. So 2 weeks ago, I was in with our annual financial statement, so we're going to fast forward 6 months to December. This shows
too much paper. It's probably electronic now.
General fund and capital improvement revenues and expenditures as compared to the budget. If you see the ones highlighted, I couldn't possibly go over every one. And some of these you have to remember to get year-end allocations. For instance, property taxes, 99%. It's because of the way the tax money comes in. But some of the ones that I just want to mention and discuss that I think you were interested in is the realty transfer tax. Even though we were down this year compared to last year, we're still 12% over the budget. The mobile home placement tax, you can see, is down. The next one, the register of wills is up. This is an example of one of the revenues. It's hard to predict. A few big estates can sway that number in any given year. It's up 44% over what we budgeted, as well as the sheriff's department. This was the year that we did the 1% increase in the sheriff's fees. And we added the setup fee and, of course, the amount of work the sheriff's office is doing right now has put that revenue over the budget by 30%. Then we go into our real estate related revenue, which I talked about a couple weeks ago in our financial statements. Sort of the same scenario, the fire service fees, building permits, building inspections, private road inspections, and water and sewer, or excuse me, private road review fees are all down. And that was the case the September financial report as it is now. Overall, on our revenues, though, we're still up as compared to budget, 11%. So the real estate transfer tax is hanging in there as per our budget. On the next page are the expenses. Again, there's a lot of allocations that go on at the end of our fiscal year, like insurance and workers' comp. December is the month where we had our pension contribution. So you're looking at that for 6 months, but yet we have an annual budget, so some of the numbers may look a little out of whack. Overall, at the bottom, we're still, our expenses are holding. We're a lot lower than what we budgeted. We have taken steps to monitor this. This is reviewed monthly by me. County administrators approving all capital purchase orders and all postings of new positions we're taking a closer look at. So basically, this is how December falls out. No surprises.
Right.
This informational report for you.
Any questions for Susie? Keep up the good work.
I guess the one thing that jumps out is in the finance department, there's a $900,000 actual expense, whereas the year-to-date budgeted number said 380.
That's the insurance.
So is that a number that's going to even out as we move through the year?
So
the fact that we're 3%, almost 3% over budget, you know, is not anything. Something to be concerned
about
of that figure, or are there other figures like that?
Yeah, the pension's another one. Uh-huh. The pension's all in 6 months, but it's an annual pension, so we're looking at it 6 months. For instance, when we brought in September, pension wasn't even in there, so it looks like we're so short on our expenses.
The insurance is charged there as we pay it.
Yeah,
and
it's
then
all
it's
out of my department.
To sewer and water districts and different departments late in the fiscal year, so that number will go down and it'll be charged to other departments.
And when we see the library running about $150,000 over budget, is that a similar dynamic at play there?
Yeah, the library.
Not that significant.
That usually there's a timing.
That's only 7%.
The payments that we make on a monthly and quarterly basis for the grants.
Right.
And
the pension
December,
on the bigger
we're
departments.
Processing the following month or quarterly payment. So I think that would probably be the answer on that one.
Okay.
Good report. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you very much. Any questions again? Get them. How?
Mr. President, members of council, this evening we have two wastewater agreements for your consideration. The first one is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, the Bay Forest Club Agreement Number 478-4. This is actually DelDOT work. The developer in this case is Mr. Richard Boyle of Gaithersburg, Maryland. The work will be performed on the east side of White's Neck Road and north of Old Mill Road. This will be a continued Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. This is basically off-site sewer construction in DelDOT's right-of-way. Therefore, there are no sewer connection fees. Our engineering department and DENREC have both signed off on this already. We're expecting 10 days of construction, and the construction administration and construction inspection costs will be $1,917.15. The proposed construction cost will be $12,781 in this case. The supporting motion reads as follows. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 478-4, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Bay Forest, LLC, for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Bay Forest Club, which is Dell.org, located in Millville's expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Motion, gentlemen.
So moved. Second.
We move to second that we approve agreement number 478-4. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you. Our second and final agreement this evening is Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Bay Forest Club Phase 1.2, agreement number 478-2. The developer is the same person in this case as the earlier one, Mr. Richard Boyle from Gaithersburg, Maryland. The location here is the east side of White's Neck Road and north of Old Mill Road, the same Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District. However, this will serve 35 single-family lots. The sewer connection charges total $182,770. We do already have approvals from our engineering department as well as DENREC. We're expecting approximately 40 days of construction with a total construction administration and construction inspection cost of $14,211, with a proposed construction cost totaling $94,740. In this case, the motion is worded as follows. Be it moved that based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department for Sussex County Project Number 81-04, Agreement Number 478-2, that the Sussex County Council execute a construction administration and construction inspection agreement between Sussex County Council and Bay Forest LLC for wastewater facilities to be constructed in Bay Forest Club Phase 1.2, located in the Millville expansion of the Bethany Beach Sanitary Sewer District.
Motion, gentlemen.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second that we approve agreement number 478-2. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Al. Jim?
Good evening. I have one item tonight. It's kind of a continuation of last week in our efforts to clean up our leases with Georgetown Air Services. The lease we're talking about tonight is what we call the FBO lease, the fixed base operator lease. It's for the area around the old terminal building, the fuel farm area, and that area only. It's a 10-year-old lease. We wrote it originally with the Patrick Family Foundation 10 years ago. And this, as you know, before we built the terminal building, before we built the block hangar building, that's now going to be the Dell Tech hangar. So things have changed out there a little bit. 2002, it was assigned to Georgetown Air Services. The original lot, which is lot A3, in 2006, we had that resurveyed and split into four pieces. This was kind of the beginning of the Dell Tech process. We needed to kind of carve that out for that hangar. And then the second amendment to the lease took that hangar and the space around it back from Georgetown Air Services. The thing to remember is when we did that, we didn't compensate Georgetown Air Services in any way. We just took the property and wrote it out of the lease. So the third amendment does a few things. It redefines what property he's leasing from us, and it's going to release what we call lot A3-1. Which is the grassy area between the two terminal buildings and extends out into the airport, into the public apron area. There's some tie-down spaces there we talked about last week. It also redefines lot 83-4, which is the fuel farm lot. It takes 1,000 square feet back from that, adjacent to the Dell Tech hangar, because that's where the paint booth has to go. So we take some of that back. And then we also take a small piece of the lot that contains the old terminal building, which is part of the taxiway system out there. So it's really not a usable part for Georgetown Air Services. All in all, we take back about an acre and a half. And as compensation for that, we're going to reduce the rent pretty much by the same amount that he's paying us for the land that he's renting out there, which is about 21 cents a square foot. So the total reduction for the year would be $9,367 out of the $29,000 and something that Georgetown's paying right now. If you take that loss in revenue, add what we've gained by
that. Last week?
Yeah, I'll get to that. take the loss tonight, add the gain from the lot we took back last year, and then add to that the revenue we gained last week. We're about $2,200 ahead.
So Aaron, you all right with this? It's right there.
So reduction in the rent. We've also changed the use language for the lease. The current lease lists 11 or 12 different items, and all of them are mandatory. We've changed those to optional, with the exception of flight line servicing of aircraft. We've kept that as a mandatory use for the property. We also took out the possible use of the Bull Terminal building as a restaurant. With any problems there, and then clarified some of the aircraft storage wording. And in all of this, Georgetown Air Services has to tell us in writing which one of those uses they're going to do. We also deleted a requirement for them to pay 10% of the tie-down fees for just that property. That's kind of a cleanup item from last week. And then the big change, we went through all the insurance requirements to make sure we had the right ones and that we weren't overburdening his business with insurance requirements. And we were able to reduce those quite a bit. In one case, a $10 million policy down to $1 million. And that's pretty much...
Any subletting requirements? I mean, it always concerns me if we don't have any subletting or assignments.
I believe the lease allows them to sublet with our permission, so there's no change in that. But
is that in there in this one, or
it's not in the amendment? No,
that's last week.
It's in the original.
In the original. Okay. So,
right.
So subletting assignment, we still have, we can approve or disapprove of such things.
Right. That's coming from the council, I thought. Right, Jim. Okay. Any other?
I mean, this is just for the around the terminal building.
Right.
And I have a motion.
Please.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council authorize the council president to execute the third amendment to lease agreement to establish and operate a general aviation support service facility for Sussex County Airport, Georgetown, Delaware, with Georgetown Air Services, as presented by Jim Hicken, Director, Airport and Industrial Park Operations, on 12 February 2008.
Motion, gentlemen.
So moved.
Second.
We're moved to second that we approve the lease agreement as stated. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Thanks, Jim.